The following is a paid program on this station.
Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm sitting here with these two fine, upstanding citizens.
Well, one of us is standing up. Now both of us are.
Okay. And I'm sitting.
That's upstanding.
But that's okay. Welcome, everyone. I've got Dr. Samara Umat, yes, indeed, and Dr. Jerry Mixon, who happens to be the founder, chief medical officer of Longevity Medical Clinics. Many of you have been listening for years, maybe decades. We can say decades now because I think we're approaching 22. We started in 1999. In any event, we are glad you're with us. And we're going to take a lot of calls today. If you want to get in line, here is the number. If you have a health question that is bothering you, you need a second opinion. Odds are you do, by the way. Call this number and we'll get you on the air. 1-800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. And pretty much anything goes. And, we would love to hear from you. 800-465-8770. I can give the number a few more times. I've been stalling because I need to. These two guys are, Samara, your computer is not working this morning, your laptop. And so, Jerry, you've been trying while we're on the air here, trying to
get
fix your computer,
yep.
Plug in a new one and see what happens. But it doesn't matter. We are ready to roll. You know, some people... well, Jerry, what is the latest? Get back over here, Jerry, on the microphone.
All right. She was just showing me the date on the computer I gave her. It's January 21.
We don't know which year.
We don't have any idea what year. This is an old computer I found on the floor in the corner.
In the corner of our studio.
Yes, and I picked it up and gave it to her, and we plugged it in.
Interesting.
And, of course, I have no idea if it's password protected and she can't get in anyway.
Oh, actually, it's Pete Talbot's computer, by the way.
Oh, Pete. Yeah. Pete.
That is not my computer.
Well, look, it
says right on it. Pete Talbot.
This is right there.
Isn't that weird? I've never seen that before.
That's your old one. You dumped
memory.
This when you updated.
You know, thousands of
memory
people.
Memory issues.
Are, thousands of Pete. Thousands of people are changing you just qualified the channel
to be,
right now.
You just qualified to be president. You know that.
That's right.
Cognitive issues. It's required to be elected president. So
it was amazing that we elected Kamala as our next president, and pretty much everybody knows it.
And neither one of them ever answered a question. A policy.
Yeah,
question.
I know.
An entire election.
We can't go there.
Nobody
Jerry,
answered a policy
Jerry,
question.
Jerry, we can't go there.
Why not?
It's just.
Is it forbidden?
It's too painful.
I see.
Too painful. Listen, again, we can start. We've already got a call, and I think we're just going to start taking calls. Unless, have you got some brilliant, insightful, new development in medicine you want to talk about to start off?
No.
Yeah, you do. Talk about the vaccine. You've been telling us all about it. Come on.
Okay. All right.
That's the new and the latest Pfizer, Moderna, and 90% success. Wow.
Better than 90%, actually.
Yeah.
It's almost 91% success rate. Yeah, and they did kind of an interesting thing. You know, they got like 35,000 people in, and they tried to select people from high-risk groups in high contagion areas.
Okay.
And half the people got the vaccine and half the people didn't get the vaccine. And they simply waited to see who got tested. Because at least 50% of the people who catch the disease don't have any symptoms, then they had to do COVID testing on these people repeatedly.
Oh, sure.
Because, you know, you want to know who actually got the disease and who didn't. And if half the people don't have any symptom, well, that just means you got to keep testing everybody to.
Well, without the symptoms, can you really say they caught the disease?
Yeah, because the virus is growing in their system. It's just their immune system handles it well enough that they never get sick.
Well, we're attacked all the time by various bugs and bacteria and stuff, and our immune system takes care of it.
Yes.
You wouldn't say.
But the virus wasn't replicating
all
in their
right.
system.
Whatever.
The point here is that, you know, better, almost 91%. So 9-point-something% of the people that got the vaccine compared to the people without the vaccine got the virus in their system.
Okay.
Which is really, you know, it's fascinating. I've, you know, 100 people catch it and 9 people with the vaccine, you know, 100 people without the vaccine catch it
yes.
for every 9 people with the vaccine they catch
right.
it.
Right.
That's amazing.
Right. Good. And as far as we know, no side effects, right?
Well, that's not quite true.
Okay.
Okay. But the side effects are all front-loaded. There was a high incidence of pain at the injection site.
Okay.
And a lot of the people had about 3 days of fatigue or low-grade fever or muscle aches.
Yeah, so those were the mild side effects of the vaccine. But that's with
right.
any vaccine, right, Jerry? Even the
yes.
flu vaccine
yes.
has that.
Yeah. You know, we had a guy the other day who called into the show, had his shingles vaccine.
Right.
And was sicker than a dog for,
right.
you know, for a while.
Right. I mean, what yeah. I was worried about was major side effects like we had right. with Guillain-Barré syndrome with the old vaccine.
Yeah, yeah. And Guillain-Barré, of course, if it was going to show up, would show up probably weeks or months later. So, you know, we're only, well, they started the vaccine trials, started, you know, selecting their early people about 2 months, 2.5 months ago. So we don't know what may or may not show up 6 months or a year up the road.
That is true. We don't know.
But in the, at least in the first few months, the only significant adverse effects we're getting are basically those related to the shot itself. And that's only for the first few days. You know, yes, you may or may not get muscle aches and fatigue for a few days after the shot, but that gives you a better than 90% protection from catching COVID.
Yeah.
So it's a trade-off. But, you know, everything we do in life, you know, my first rule of medicine, and it should be the first rule of life, is anything strong enough to help is strong enough to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's trade-offs and choices. And what we want to do is pick the things that give us the most benefit with the fewest downside, but there will always be downsides.
Yeah.
It's just the way the world works.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's some darn good news, if you ask me.
It is. They should be applying this month, actually, within a couple of weeks. The application should be into the FDA for emergency use. And then it's up to the FDA to decide, and hopefully in December they will decide.
What do you, how do you define emergency use?
Well, by law, okay, emergency use is only for extremely high risk people and people at risk for a serious adverse outcome. So clearly, you know, people over 80 would be, you know, would obviously be within that. The question is, how far down do you take that age group?
Yeah.
And what specific conditions? For instance, we know that people with pulmonary disease are high risk. So if you've got emphysema, you're an old vapor or a smoker, then, you know, you're high risk. You have congestive heart failure, cardiovascular disease, kidney failure. We know these are high risk people. That's a relatively small population in the United States today. I mean, not like in the 1950s when everybody smoked.
Yeah.
You know, that's mostly very elderly, very poor people. It's kind of interesting. Smoking is a sign of poverty in modern America.
Really?
Yeah. You know, the poorer you are, the higher the chances are that you're a smoker.
Mm.
It used to be so the opposite.
Oh, yeah. It was glamorous. All the movie stars, everybody who was anybody, you know, smoked and made a big ritual out of it with the long cigarette holders to make it obvious to everybody, even, you know, half a mile away that they could see you were smoking. And now, of course, it's socially unacceptable. And that's a good thing from a medical standpoint. But if you really want to help society as at large, you've got to move that down beyond what the current law really permits. So it depends on how far they're going to be willing to bend the regulation. You know, if they take it down as low as 65, age 65, then that will reduce our COVID serious infections and deaths by more than 80%. So, you know, the lower they'll take it, the better.
Good.
But that means more people. But 65 is 15.2% of the population is 65 and older. So, you know, we'd have to do 15% of our population. Well, we're 300 million people. Yeah,
50 million.
So, yeah, 52 million people would have to be treated.
Mm.
Originally, they were talking about having 100 million doses available in the first month. Now, Pfizer is saying they're only going to have 20 million in the first month.
Oh, man.
So 20 million in December, 20 million in January, 40 million in February is their current projection. Mm-hmm. So if we only have the Pfizer vaccine and they are only able to stay at those doses, it would take us December, January, and February to treat that 15% of the population at high risk. Now, Moderna brings theirs in. If they've also got 20 million,
mm-hmm. you know,
and if we get two or three or four manufacturers, each of them producing 20 to 30 million doses a month, well, then the picture changes.
Yeah.
And I had dinner, Vicki and I had dinner with some friends, and one of our friends was afraid to take it. Says, I don't think I'm going to take it.
Well, and, you know, I saw, you know, Governor Cuomo, and in fact, I saw Kamala Harris say that, you know, she would not take it because it was developed by Mr. Trump.
Yeah, I know.
And so I'm saying, fine, all you progressives, don't take the vaccine. Wear your masks and stay home the rest of your lives. I don't give a damn. I want the vaccine.
You know, the other thing is we don't know much about the vaccine they're giving out in China and Russia. They've given out thousands of vaccines, too. We just don't know what.
Hundreds of thousands of doses.
We don't know the data. Have they published anything? I haven't seen anything.
No, it's all internal. Uh-huh. And, it's, you know, their studies were very small. They're basically using their population as the study. You know, you give out a couple of 100,000 doses to all the students and stuff, and you see how many of them are protected.
Yeah.
Scary.
Well, it is, but you got to remember that, you know, authoritarian regimes have a slightly different view of the value of other people's lives.
Yeah, they're very protective. They don't care.
They're very protective of the people in charge.
That's right.
You know? Mm-hmm. But it reminds me of during the Korean War, after the Chinese had joined in on North Korea's side. And American generals were talking to the Chinese generals about, you know, this decision to bring in the mass assaults because they were, you know, they didn't have enough soldiers with weapons. They would just line up. The first wave would have weapons and the second wave would follow behind without. And if the first people got killed, they'd pick up the weapon and keep coming. And it was a slaughter. I mean, the U.S. Weapons were so much better and effective. And so the American general said, you know, this is foolish. If you keep this up, you're going to lose 100,000 troops.
Mm.
And the Chinese general looked at him and said, we have more.
Wow.
Yeah. So. Yeah, there's the value of life is non-existent.
True, yeah.
Well, it's changing now because they've got a large middle class.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the early days, I mean, you got to remember, under Mao Zedong, under the socialism, 60 million Chinese starved to death.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 60 million, you know, just from lack of food under the communes and the socialized economy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, but nowadays, Chinese citizens are not going to put up with. Now they have nice cars and they have apartments and they get to fly places. And, you know, they're not about to accept any regime pushing them back into socialist poverty.
Interesting. Well, let's go to a break, because we've got Mark in Seattle has a question about hormones. Phil in Tacoma has a question about testosterone. John in Spanaway has a question about calcium. And Hilmar in Redmond has a question about nutrients in general. Wow. I'd say the two of you are going to be kept pretty busy.
Well, let's get to work.
All right, yeah. A quick break, and we will be back. If you want a real fun, very interesting introduction to Longevity Medical Clinic, we're not doing seminars anymore, but you might want to go to our website, lmclinic.com, and take a look at the introduction to longevity video. It's really good. People love it, and I think you might too. We'll be right back.
The thing I like the most about everything that I've learned from Dr. Mixon is it all makes very logical and intuitive sense. It's not something I really have to wonder, well, I wonder if that's really true. It just, this whole encompassing approach, it always makes a lot of sense to me, and that's really what sold me on the whole package.
Everybody's going out and having fun. I'm just a fool for staying home and having none. I can't get over how she set me free. Oh, lonesome me.
All right, welcome back. Pete Talbot here. If you just are driving down the road or getting out of bed and somebody bumped the radio dial and you find yourself listening to us, you're brand new. This is Leading Edge Medicine. Presented, of course, by Longevity Medical Clinics. We've got three clinics throughout the Puget Sound area, Tacoma, Linwood, and Kirkland. And I've got the two key doctors here, the founder, Dr. Jerry Mixon, and also Dr. Samira Umat. So we're taking calls. Let's go to Seattle and talk to Mark. Mark, welcome to Leading Edge Medicine.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. My situation is I won't bore you with all the details other than to say for, almost 30 years I've been suffering from, they call it fibromyalgia, but I have extreme, and of course, as you know, it comes with a long list of symptoms, along with bone crushing fatigue and all this sort of stuff. But the one issue that drives me crazy is the intense stiffness I experience. And I stretch probably on average every hour. Once an hour, I do it in the supermarket, I'll do it in the library, I do it in parking lots. And as soon as I'm done, I quickly stiffen up again. And of course, I've been to numerous doctors over the years, and I've always had to beg them to check my hormones. And they very reluctantly may test, you know, my thyroid and my A1C and things of this nature. But when it comes back, it always comes back normal. And and there's, of course, normal within their range.
Mm-hmm.
And the
normal
thing is,
for your
is
age.
That, yeah, right. Well, like I said, it started 30 years ago when I was young, when I was in my 30s. And they were saying, well, you know, you're not getting any younger and things of this nature. But I've come to realize that I feel a lot of it is probably hormonal. And I've been listening to you over the years, and the thing is, I can't help but think that maybe fibromyalgia is just a hormonal thing. And I figured it just hit me, the light bulb went off, that maybe I should give you a call and pick your brain at it kind of thing. Because I'm not getting anywhere with doctors. I've just been...
All right. Well, but yeah, you understand you understand you are calling doctors, right?
You bring up a good point, because the thing is the most recent doctor I saw said you should probably go to an endocrinologist. And I thought to myself, well, I have been to an endocrinologist in the past, and they're just diabetes doctors. But then come to realize, aren't you guys kind of in a way a glorified endocrinologist?
Yeah, we are a subspecialty of endocrinology in many ways. We are the endocrinology of aging, which is different.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about fibromyalgia, first of all. Fibromyalgia is a poorly defined condition. And you're right, some doctors still don't even believe it exists.
That's right.
That is very true.
Isn't that kind of a catch-all for a lot of...
Well, it could be. Although, you know, it's the diagnosis has been around now for 30-some years.
Correct.
And the criteria have changed over time. And I think most physicians now accept that it's a real thing.
Right. And I think the big thing is, you know, there's no test we can do to diagnose. It's the diagnosis of exclusion.
Yes. So you kind of have to rule everything else out. And
right.
if you don't see anything else you can hang it on, you end up saying, oh, God, must be fibromyalgia. Mm. I mean, there are particular pain points and so on that statistically
right.
correlate with it, that, you know, right. where you can thump and press here and there. And
mm-hmm.
But it's poorly defined, and it's something that's hard to test for because we do not have a specific biological marker. We can't do this test and say, aha, if this test is positive, you have fibromyalgia.
Right.
Okay, so we are dealing from a position of relative ignorance, and that drives doctors crazy. We are people who like to know.
Yeah.
So
drives, you know, them crazy. Hello.
Yeah, I understand. It's not satisfying for any of us, clearly, and certainly not for the poor guy who is suffering from the disease.
And as I think about it, you know, probably the best subspecialty of physicians is rheumatology.
Yeah.
They do run a lot of antibody tests and rule out other things, and they manage it probably best. And then physiatrists do see some as well.
Yeah. Physiatrists are, you know,
right.
with the physical manifestations.
Yeah.
The endocrinologist more to help with the rule out diagnosis, where you're testing for lots of other autoimmune diseases and so on.
Yeah.
But even with the rheumatologist, it's more a matter of, you know, they're very good at running lots and lots of tests to tell you what you don't have.
Right.
And
right.
and leaving you with that diagnosis. We do have a fair number.
Yeah,
we do have a fair number of people with fibromyalgia in our clinics, and we do not have a quote cure unquote. Many of them do better.
Mm-hmm.
That's
over time.
That's what one of my friends have said. Definitely
yeah.
better.
Yeah. So, you know, when we manage to decrease the inflammation,
mm-hmm.
that decreases a lot of the pain and stiffness.
Yeah.
And as we do increase strength and endurance, as we can impact the brain chemistry simply to make people more confident and cheerful and resilient,
mm-hmm.
then they cope with their disease better.
Right. Yeah, I've treated a lot of fibromyalgia patients over my career. And it's always looking for markers, and if the markers fall in the normal range, unfortunately, it falls down to medication. Sometimes we've used injections for trigger points. But the best success that I've had clinically in managing these patients is when I've looked at their hormonal panel in my current practice. And when their anabolic hormones are kept in a physiological functioning range and not normal range, they just do a lot better. Remember, we've said this many times, testosterone is not just a male hormone. It's a neuroendocrine hormone. It's a brain hormone. It is your stress tolerance. It's your ability to make muscle and decrease inflammation.
But it's also, it decreases pain perception.
Yes.
You know, young men are famous for doing the most outrageous things to themselves, and they think they're tough because it doesn't hurt. Because the high anabolic hormone load means they don't feel pain very well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, old men have low testosterone. Everything hurts. It's a lot harder to
sure.
be tough when it actually hurts.
Sure. Sure it is.
And so, you know, fibromyalgia patients are hypersensitive to noxious stimulus. And so they get a whole lot more pain than other people.
That's
from
right.
the same stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
And what we are finding is as we raise that anabolic hormone load, the sensation of pain, and hence its inhibiting impact on your life, is decreased. Doesn't go away completely.
Yeah.
But it tends to get better.
Yeah. And then as we talk about the anabolic load market, we don't just mean testosterone. You know, it's a whole cascade of hormones, and we do pay attention to all of them. You know, they start with cholesterol being the backbone from where all of these hormones come down, pregnenolone, DHEA, testosterone, estradiol. And also then we look at other things, cortisol, your thyroid hormone, and we do pay attention to a lot of nutritional status as well, because you may have subclinical nutritional deficiencies that are not being addressed and low-grade inflammatory markers that are not being addressed. And we don't want to give you prednisone and things like that. We try to want to do it as holistically as possible.
You know, let me ask you this, because what the two of you just told me collectively, you told me more than all the doctors combined over the past 30 years. And the thing is how is it that this, what you're telling me, is not known by rheumatologists or endocrinologists, especially since fibromyalgia is, it's fairly common from what I can understand. You would think that these doctors would have been educated in the knowledge that you guys now have, because I'm not hearing it from them.
Well, the difference, though, is we are a different specialty. You know, our goal is not normal. Our goal is optimal. And most of medicine is oriented about normal. If your values are normal for your age, that's the goal. Our attitude is normal for your age means you are falling apart as fast as everybody around you. We don't think that's a good thing. You know, I want you faster and stronger and leaner and smarter and sexier than the people around you. So,
and me too.
You know, so we have different goals. We have different normative values that we use. And as a result, we see different results.
Yeah. You know, I've never said this to anybody, actually, let alone on radio, but I'll give you my personal example, and it's not about fibromyalgia. I used to have little restless legs. Like, you know, if I sat in the car for about an hour, my feet would hurt, and I would have to move, keep moving them to remain comfortable for long drives. And I didn't really understand what was going on. And then when I started learning about functional medicine and first introduced to holistic medicine, I mean, it just opened my eyes. And you know what made the biggest difference to my restless legs?
What?
Magnesium.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody tell you that? Nobody tells you that. And yet, the minute I started taking magnesium, it made a huge, how do you test? Now, when I came to longevity, I did do a nutritional analysis, but by then I had no nutritional deficiencies. I had already started taking magnesium, but I didn't know that I needed magnesium to help my troubled feet on long drives. It wasn't all the time. It wasn't, something that kept me awake at night or anything like that. But yet long drives were a problem. 30 minutes into the drive, my feet are hurting and I'm fidgety and I'm wanting to get up and I'm moving. But that just completely went away once I started taking magnesium. But nobody told me that. I had to figure that out on my own. But it's these little things, you know. There's no test that tells me there's magnesium deficiency. Yet when you put the bigger picture together, when somebody sits down, listens to your story, and there's that aha moment, and you go, oh, you know, looking at your labs and looking at this, and this is not quite right, maybe we should try this, and you will feel better. And it's that biochemistry, the physiology, and just somebody who thinks outside of the box a little bit, rather than, you know, I mean, imagine if you have restless legs and you go on and you put on a pain medication or something like that, right? You feel the compulsion to do something when patients complain of a symptom, but it's not always the right answer. It just it hides the symptoms. It doesn't cure the problem.
Much better to deal with the root cause than just masking symptoms. You just did, Dr. Umat, you just did an ad for Longevity Medical Clinic. This is why people enjoy being patients at Longevity, because you get the leading edge, the whole appropriate look at a human body.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was excellent. Mark, anything else from your end?
No, that was excellent. Yeah, you very, very encouraging. So thank you.
So you betcha.
The answer is come let our staff evaluate you. Maybe we can help.
That's right. Very, very likely. Thanks for your call, Mark. You know, this is obviously a time I have to remind all of our listeners that we make available a free health analysis appointment. This is a big deal. This is really a big deal because we give you two free tests, give you a blood test and also the special in-body. And with the combination of those two tests, you will be able to determine what some of your basic health risks are that you need to deal with. And so if you don't measure, you don't know. How many times have you heard us say that? And so we just decided we'll do some of the measuring for you to help give you that information, because it's the information that puts you in a position where you can make intelligent decisions about what to do about your aging process. If you're not happy, maybe you're in your 40s, 60s, 80s, 90s. I think we got a few over 100, but doesn't matter how old you are. If you're not happy, if you've lost your energy, if you've lost libido, if you've lost just that excitement for life, whatever you want to call it, you're struggling, grab one of our free health analysis appointments. I really hope you will. They, again, are free and include the two tests. And yes, definitely, we keep getting little emails and calls at the office. Are you still giving away $100 of the longevity supplements when you come in for a free health analysis appointment? And the answer is yes, we are. So lots of reasons you need to sort of take control of your life. Go to our website, lmclinic.com, lmclinic.com. And push the button, the schedule appointment now button, and the three clinics will show up, Tacoma, Linwood, Kirkland. Select the clinic that's most convenient for you, obviously geographically or what have you. And when you do that, that clinic's schedule for the free health analysis appointments will come up on your screen. And you'll just be able to see which appointment you like Tuesday at 10 o'clock or Wednesday at 3:15, whatever it is. That can be your appointment. You just click on it, and it is your appointment. We encourage you to do it. Really, we do. We're coming to the end of the year. Next year, you really can feel and function better next year than you maybe did 5, 10, 15 years ago at lmclinic.com. We'll be right back.
The thing I like the most about everything that I've learned from Dr. Mixon is it all makes very logical and intuitive sense. It's not something I really have to wonder, well, I wonder if that's really true. It just, this whole encompassing approach, it always makes a lot of sense to me, and that's really what sold me on the whole package.
Everybody's going out and having fun. I'm just a fool for staying home and having none. I can't get over how she set me free. Oh, lonesome me.
Hey, welcome back. You know, the guy just mentioned, coming back from the break, that it all seems so logical and intuitive when he hears it here on Leading Edge Medicine. And he also happens to be a patient at Longevity. And Jerry, wouldn't you say it's fun when patients come in and they know they have things that they need to learn and their eyes open? At some point, it's like an awakening that they realize they desperately need more than just what, for example, a primary care physician can give. It's like an awakening of some kind.
It is. And, you know, sometimes it takes a bit of desperation, like the last caller we had.
Yeah.
And he's been from person to person to person for year after year after year. And he just said, nothing is helping. Please, somebody do something. And then if we're able to help, suddenly we become heroes.
Yeah, that's right.
And other people see neighbors or see friends that have just, you know, that have been patients. Mm-hmm. And I think the best example of that is many of our doctor patients, you know, physicians who have become patients because we have joint patients.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the doctor treats one of our patients. sees how good that patient is doing, and then the doctor wants to become a patient.
Oh, that happens all the time. I can think of some. Yeah. I guess it's not appropriate to say.
No, you can't give them. No,
say that.
HIPAA. The doctors can say it. You can't.
I can't. But Dr. Rohr said that he is a patient at Longevity. Remember that particular story?
I remember the story. He said he walked in the room. You know, he looked at the chart on the door. He walked in the room. He saw the patients.
Yeah.
He walked back out of the room to his staff and said, "This must be the wrong chart. Those patients are much younger."
Yeah.
That's right.
And it turns out that no, that was the right people. They were just long-term patients of ours.
Yeah.
Were functioning far better than they were supposed to for their age.
Right.
Yeah. And the doctor, ended up becoming a patient himself. Yeah.
And
that happens.
And then Mark, who was our last caller, basically said, "You just told me in the last few minutes more, and it was more understandable than what all of his doctors have told him over the years dealing with this issue."
Yeah.
That is why.
Right.
That comfort, that ability to have a doctor that's on the leading edge, that is aware of all the latest things. They may not be covered by insurance, for example, but to have that advantage to deal with your health problem, it's huge.
And much of what we do is not covered by insurance for the simple reason that you're not sick, you're just old. And old is not a disease.
Good point.
Just for all the listeners, we do want you to stay in touch with your primary care provider.
Absolutely.
And your other specialists. We don't replace them. We just enhance what they do for you, and we add another dimension to what they're doing to make you feel and act better tomorrow than today.
Yeah. Well, you might have a dermatologist for your skin issues.
Yeah.
And maybe you've got a rheumatologist for your joint issues. They're two very different specialties.
Mm-hmm.
We are a different specialty.
That's right.
And so, our approach to life is a little different than most other physicians because we treat a different set of issues. We treat the normal but undesired changes of aging. And so because what we're treating is normal for your age, insurance doesn't cover it because we're treating stuff that they consider normal. It's not a problem. It's normal.
Normal stinks.
Yeah, but the reality is it is a problem because normal is great when you're 18. By 50, normal stinks. And by 60, 70, and 80, normal's got some real issues.
Yeah. and one other thing I'll add is, when you start the program, I always like to tell all my patients that I'm here to help you through it, but I can't do it for you. So if I make some recommendations with diet and lifestyle, if you don't follow that, then you will not get the same results as the next patient who is able to follow those recommendations. I mean, I'm not going to, get mad at you for not doing it. Of course, it's your life. You do whatever you want. But your results will be different than somebody else who can follow all of those recommendations. So, for example, Dr. Mixon is much better at intermittent fasting than me. So he does much better than I do.
intermittent fasting.
Yes.
Some call it torture.
Yeah, well, he gets much better results than I will get. But then I understand that, and I take that on myself.
Here's something about being a patient at Longevity. A lady came to me, oh my gosh, this was 10 years ago. And she said, all my life, I've been going to doctor after doctor with certain health issues. Doesn't matter what those health issues were. But it never seemed to get resolved. And she said, "I just met with your doctor who is no longer with us, someone that who retired." And she said, "I'll never forget as long as I live." She, at the end of our appointment, she took my hand and she said, "Don't worry, Susie," whatever this person's name was, "I'm going to be your new best friend. We're going to figure this out together." And she cried, telling me the story.
Yeah.
She says, "This has never happened to me before."
Right.
And that feeling of coaching, teamship, I don't know how you want to define that. But to be able to have that when it comes to your health issues, I mean, how many times have you, who are listening to us right now, have said, "Oh, I wish I could have more time. I wish I could ask questions. I wish I could call the doctor now. Well, at Longevity, you can if you want. It is a huge advantage. So,
yes, anyway. It is. Yeah, I mean, I'm a physician, Jerry. You're a physician. But when I go to see my physician, sometimes I'm not satisfied with the time that I've spent, right? And I'm a physician, and I know they give me more time just because of professional courtesy. But still, you come away with 100 more questions. And it's not that they try to avoid you. I know they are constrained by time. And maybe perhaps they just don't know what to do, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And doctors hate to say, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that's the most valuable lesson I've learned, because many of you, if you listen to the show very often or very long, you hear me say, I don't know.
Yes, and me too. You taught me to say that too on radio.
But doctors hate to not know. But the reality is we don't know everything.
Yes. Uh-huh.
We can't know everything. And I just believe being honest about that. Mm-hmm. Let people know what you do know.
Yeah.
Let them know what you don't know. And let them know what you suspect. Mm-hmm. And why you suspect it might be true.
Mm-hmm.
And if you couch it in that way, they'll often be willing to go with you and say, well, then if you think this might be, let's give it a try.
Yeah.
And as long as everybody recognizes you are trying something that you're not sure about, it's fine.
Yeah.
You know, the other nice thing about being a patient at Longevity is that, let's say there is a health problem that even you, mm-hmm. Dr. Mixon or Dr. Umat, can't quite figure out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that doesn't mean you give up. We've talked about this before. You often will bring in other doctors.
Oh, yes.
You have your doctor conferences every week where different patients can come up, and the whole group of doctors,
yes, mm-hmm.
will look into it and research it and kibitz about it to try to help one of our patients if it's an unusual situation.
Yeah, it is nice to have 6 or 7 physicians all looking at the same problem from different perspectives and trying to figure out a good solution.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyway, this is what being a patient at Longevity is all about. 1 hour appointment so that you can come in and actually sit down, be calm, ask questions, get the information, ask more questions, get the information, ask more questions. It just is a huge psychological advantage and physical advantage. So it's pretty excellent. Anyway, if you would like just to take a baby step, our free health analysis appointments are available. You get 2 free tests to help you understand what some of your basic health issues are. And with that information, now you have the ability to make intelligent decisions about what to do. So we'll do that for you in a free health analysis appointment. And at least through the end of the year, we're also offering $100 of longevity supplements, absolutely no charge, just as a special incentive. And thank you. Go to our website, lmclinic.com, lmclinic.com, and make an appointment. You'll be glad you did. We got to go to a quick break. When we come back, in Tacoma is where we're headed to. Phil has a question about testosterone. Okay. And then John in Spanaway about calcium. That's a big one. And then Hilmar about nutrients. We're going to take a whole bunch of calls. Bing, bang, bong from here on out. Let's go.
The thing I like the most about everything that I've learned from Dr. Mixon is it all makes very logical and intuitive sense. It's not something I really have to wonder, well, I wonder if that's really true. It just, this whole encompassing approach, it always makes a lot of sense to me, and that's really what sold me on the whole package.
Welcome back. Pete Talbot here. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. By the way, I do this often. I forget to give you the toll-free number if you don't have a computer and you'd rather make a free health analysis appointment over the phone. You can do that by calling us at 866-86-YOUNG. 866-86-YOUNG. And with that, let us go to Phil in Tacoma.
Why are you laughing, Jerry?
Well, I was laughing at that song.
Oh, okay.
Well, actually,
that plaintive cry.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes me back to, 17, 18 years old.
Yeah.
Every hot girl I saw, it was, I think I could love her for at least a weekend.
Yeah. I don't know where that particular song came from. I did not select that.
Oh.
And I would not have played that. I mean, I almost went to sleep coming back from the break. I remember it from the probably 69 or 70 or what have you.
Somewhere in that place.
But, whoever threw that at me did that without my knowledge.
Well, it certainly amused Jerry, so.
Well, I know.
I couldn't help laughing at it.
He was getting amused, and I'm here and sitting here steaming, and I'm writing a note. Crimson and Clover, who the blunk? Okay. That was great. Anyway, what are we doing here? Oh,
why don't we talk to some patients?
That's right. Let us go to Phil in Tacoma. How
Hello,
you doing, Phil?
Phil?
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Reason for my call this morning was a visit to the it was a urologist, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm having a senior moment there. This past Tuesday, I went and saw a urologist, and he said some things that kind of sent up some red flags. Uh-huh. And about testosterone and PSA.
Mm-hmm.
So I came home and jumped on the internet and did some reading on this. Came across an interesting article on the Johns Hopkins website entitled Two Non-Cancerous Causes for Higher PSA. One was inflammation, and the other was high testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
And the takeaway from it basically was that kind of one of the pull quotes is a scientist found that men who had higher testosterone levels also had higher PSA levels.
Sure.
We also found that the odds of having a clinically elevated PSA were greater among men with higher testosterone levels. Our findings may indicate that in prostate cancer screening, American men who have higher testosterone levels may be more likely to undergo unnecessary prostate biopsy.
Yep.
So, my question to you, and I know you guys must deal with this all the time. I've been on testosterone therapy now for about 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
First year was transdermal creams, and it didn't work for me. I just simply didn't absorb it. So, I went to injections. And it wasn't until about April of this year that we finally got my regimen dialed in to something that actually works for me.
Okay.
So, in the past 8 months since we got my testosterone dialed in, my PSA has gone up a point from 3.0 to 4.0.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is there a relationship between testosterone therapy and higher PSA levels?
Absolutely. But that doesn't mean higher cancer levels.
Right.
Okay. Here's what happens. Prostate-specific antigen, that's what PSA is. Okay. It's an antigen produced by the prostate gland. And as you age and your testosterone levels are declining, your prostate becomes less and less active. Because PSA is a function of metabolic activity, total metabolic activity in the gland. You can have a large gland that is relatively indolent but still produce a lot of PSA. You can have a small, very active gland and have a high PSA. So anything that increases metabolic activity. In an older man, the prostate tends to get bigger, but it also tends to become less active. It's producing less of the things that a prostate is supposed to produce. Remember, prostate is not just a non-functioning structure. Prostate is there to help you get a woman pregnant. Okay? It produces enzymes to dissolve the mucus that are keeping her cervix closed so the sperm can get out of the vagina, through the cervix, up through the uterus, out to the tubes, and meet an egg. It's also producing the nutrients, the sugars and proteins and other nutrients necessary to keep those sperm alive for up to 3 days inside the woman while they're waiting for an egg to come by. Okay? So, that's the function of the prostate. It's very, very active gland. As you get older, your testosterone level's dropping, your sperm count is dropping, your sexual drive is dropping. Your prostate becomes less and less active, and you're producing less and less of the good stuff that a prostate is supposed to be producing. When you put a guy back on testosterone, you are stimulating that prostate to wake up and do its job. Mm-hmm. And when it wakes up and becomes more metabolically active, increased PSA production is part of that function. So, you know, it's a sign of prostate activity. Now, if you have an infection, let's say you get a prostatitis, you get a bacteria or a virus in the prostate, and it's now inflamed and infected, that inflammation is going to increase metabolic activity and PSA will rise. I've seen PSAs go overnight with infected prostates from, you know, from a baseline of 2 to 22.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's not a prostate cancer, and that's not the testosterone. That's just plain inflammation in the prostate.
And sometimes just not even a prostatitis, but even just BPH itself can cause that PSA to go up.
Yes, because you got a bigger prostate. And, you know, men with low progesterone tend to get bigger prostates. And if your progesterone stays low for a long period, you get a bigger prostate and more PSA, even though the prostate per volume is quite inactive. But again, if we add testosterone to that man, we're going to wake up the prostate, his PSA will rise.
Yeah, and I think his question was a little bit more specific in that, does testosterone potentially cause the PSA to go up? And your answer is yes, it can. And a lot of times I find that it may be temporary, that once the body gets used to seeing those testosterone levels when they're dialed into where that person functions at their optimal, it actually does slowly come back down as well. So I have seen it go up and down over the course of time.
Yeah. You know, I'm 73. I have been on testosterone supplementation for 23 years or so. I went on it before I ever opened the clinics. I keep my daily testosterone range in the mid-range for a healthy 25-year-old man. So much higher than is normal for my age, but well within physiologic limits. Okay. If I were 25, I'd be perfect in the center of the curve. My PSA runs around 2.2.
Should I do a biopsy on me or what?
No.
There's another problem
Not, not based on just the PSA.
Yeah.
You may need a biopsy, but the question is, what is he biopsying? And why is he biopsying? If he's biopsying purely because you have a PSA of 4, I'd say no. Now, if he's done an MRI and he sees a mass effect, biopsy that mass.
Okay. Well, if I went to see him because of a problem of frequent urination with low output, about 2 ounces, and it's now up to 4 on terazosin.
Okay.
He did. He thought I had urine retention. So after doing the pain in the cup for a urinalysis, they did an ultrasound of my bladder and found that my retention level was an ounce or less.
Okay.
He then did a DRE.
I tell you what we're going to have to do here, Phil. Hang on. We're going to have to carry you over until the second hour. And that means we have a hard break at 9 o'clock. By law, we got to do a station ID, but it's a quick one. We literally will be back with the start of hour number 2 of Leading Edge Medicine after about a 10-second break. And we're right back. So you hang on. We're putting you on hold, Phil. And we will continue this conversation. This, I must say, is another classic reason why being a patient at Longevity is so helpful. Talk about leading edge and dealing with this type of an issue. Make one of those free health analysis appointments. you're just, it's a smart thing to do at lmclinic.com. And we'll be back like in 20 seconds after the break.
Balance of Power 2020. AM 770 KTTH, Seattle. Your vote. Your